Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer, is brought to you each weekday by the makers of the new Sure Mix Crisco.
Harry makes me so mad leaving all this pie crust. I take the time to make him an apple pie, and then he turns up his nose at it.
Say, what's wrong with your pie, Helen?
He says my crust is tough.
Oh.
Well, maybe it wasn't so nice and flaky, but my goodness, he didn't have to make all that fuss about it.
Oh, now, don't let that hurt your feelings. Why, he just had his mouth all set for a swell piece of pie, the kind with juicy, rich filling inside a flaky, tender brown crust. And, well, it just spoils everything when the crust turns out pale and tough.
Well, should I stop making pies?
Oh, no, no, not at all. There's an easy way to make pastry tender and flaky.
I'd like to know how.
Well, you try the new Sure Mix Crisco.
Crisco?
Mm-hmm.
What's so wonderful about Crisco?
Well, I'll tell you. This new Crisco's different. It's made by a brand new process you can't get in any other shortening. Why, you ought to see the difference Crisco makes in cakes, for instance. Crisco now gives you lighter cakes than any other shortening we know of. And as for Crisco pies, they're wonderful. You know, Crisco's so much creamier now. It cuts into your flour like 1, 2, 3. So you can just tell you're going to get pie crust that's flaky and tender.
Maybe I'll try Crisco next time.
Why don't you? You'll notice your pastry won't have any strong, shortening taste either. Because Crisco's pure and all vegetable. And it's digestible. So even the youngsters can safely enjoy those delicious pies. Why, when a question was sent to doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's important in pies.
You bet. And you just see how easy it is to get tender, flaky pie crust with Crisco. Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook, abiding quietly at home. Sade is saying...
You don't have to think about that already, do you?
Sure.
But Christmas is so far away.
Oh, not so far away.
And you're saddled with a job again this year. Why do you let people impose on you?
Somebody has to take the rap.
Must it always be you?
Looks like it. Well, I'd make a nice present for Mr. Rubish.
Easy slippers.
Every year I ask the question, what'd make a nice present for Mr. Rubish? And every year you answer, easy slippers.
Easy slippers is always good things to give.
But the money collected from the employees generally runs around $35 or $40. Do you know where easy slippers can be purchased at that price?
We'll give them a whole bedroom outfit. Robe, pajamas, easy slippers, smoking jacket, all like that.
Not a very original present.
Well, you asked me.
Unless I select something pretty suitable, I'm open to criticism.
Well, how about a...
2457J, please. Correct.
Ever know it to fail? The minute a person start up a conversation, kids hop right to the telephone.
I'm calling Smelly Clark.
What for?
Remind him he owes me 8 cents.
How about a lovely valise?
Mr. Rubish has got valises by the million.
Well, nowadays, though, they sell valises for lots of different purposes. Fellas carry a special valise for their shirts, special valise for their shoes, special...
Ah,
valise.
There, Smelly. I find you at home, do I? Uh-huh. Just thought I'd ring you up, thought I'd to remind you you owe me 8 cents. That was all. You bet. Goodbye.
No, kiddo. He's got all the luggage he needs.
Why, it's Christmas. The fellas down at the foundry give their boss a set of pipes.
Tobacco pipes?
All different shapes and sizes.
Mr. Ruby smokes cigars.
Give him cigars.
2596W, please. Correct.
Who's this now?
Vernon Pagels. He owes me money, too.
How many other boys you gonna call?
Oh, thought I might give Bluetooth Johnson a ring. Also Leland Richards. Maybe a little later on I'll attempt to get in touch with Milton Wells, Rooster Dave. Do I hear the voice of Vernon Pagels on the other end of the wire? Rush Gook.
Did you get to use the telephone as a plaything when you were his age?
Telephones weren't in general use when I was his age.
Had beefsteak and mashed potatoes for supper, eh, Vernon? I bet they tasted good. Yes, that's a fact. Beefsteak and mashed potatoes hit the spot.
Excellent quality handkerchiefs with his initials in the corner.
Handkerchiefs don't make a very original Christmas present.
Yes, fish hits the spot, too, when you're hungry.
Handkerchiefs is articles a man can always use.
Sure.
They're not very flashy.
Oh.
Could be flashy. Goodness, a person can pay up to $5 apiece for handkerchiefs.
You're right there, Vernon. Cheese hits the spot. Cake hits the spot. Green olives hits the spot. Oh, come right down to it. I expect anything hits the spot if an individual is hungry.
I read in the newspaper where somebody paid $50 for a handkerchief.
Oh.
If I told my employees I took their $50 of donations and invested it in a single handkerchief for the boss, they'd think I was pocketing considerable sway.
I'll say chicken gravy hits the spot.
That's a bright conversation.
Yeah.
Well, just happened to be sitting around the living room here, Vernon, and thought I'd remind you owe me a nickel. Not at all. Thanks very much for answering the phone. Okay. Goodbye.
That'll be enough of that, Grasco.
Enough of what?
Exchange of nitwit remarks with your lame-brained pals.
I am on the point of calling Bluetooth Johnson.
Uh-uh.
Go away from the phone.
Surely you wouldn't object to me calling Leland Richards.
Go away from the phone.
I'll ring up Milton Welch and then call it a day.
Go away from the phone. Mr. Rubish liked candy.
I didn't know.
He must have noticed on your trip whether he ate much candy or not.
He ate some candy.
Much candy?
He ate occasional candy. In Dubuque, Iowa, one evening, he stepped to the candy counter in the hotel and bought a hunk of candy.
A big hunk?
He didn't buy a hunk as big as a piano stool or anything. He bought the size hunk you get for 5 cents.
Reason I asked, the Greek downtown's got lovely bargains in candy.
I doubt very much if the boss would relish $35 or $40 worth of candy. We'd have to load it up in a coal wagon and have it shoveled in his basement.
Buy him an assortment of useful articles. Candy, handkerchiefs, easy slippers, cigars.
Shoestrings, fingernail file, postage stamp, toothbrush, fly sweater, bookmark, eye cup, bicycle, pants guards, guardian.
Oh, no, but a person could use their common sense.
The half-wit gift kiddo ought to be something that shows good taste and smart selecting. The difficulty is, of course, that Mr. Rubish already owns so much...
Telephone's ringing.
I'll get it.
Friend Ruthie?
No, friend's putting in overtime at the foundry tonight.
Mm.
Hello? Oh, yes, Russell. Russell Duncan, by George. And how are you, old fella? Good. Yes, I know I owe you 9 cents. Uh-huh. Thanks very much for reminding me. Not at all. You bet. Okay, Russell. Sure thing. Goodbye. Good old dependable Russell Duncan. Took all the time and trouble to remind me I owe him 9 cents.
Mm.
Why all this sudden interest in collecting money, Willie?
I'm collecting money, Mom, so as to be able to buy some more defense savings stamps. And in order to do that...
Oh, well, that's a horse of a different color. Everybody should buy as many defense savings stamps as they can. The Thimble ladies are saving up for stamps,
well,
and I'm on the defense savings stamp committee.
Oh. 6590R, please. Correct.
No more telephones now, Rush. Wait till your father and I finish this important talk. How about a comfortable chair for beside his bed?
I think we may assume he already has a comfortable chair for beside his bed.
Comfortable chair for beside his desk down at the office, then.
Greetings there, Leroy. I successfully found you at home, I see. Well, didn't have much on my mind except that I thought I ought to call it to your attention again. You owe me a dime. Not at all. Only too pleased to hear the sound of your voice. Okay, old fella.
Vic, how about a comfortable chair for beside his desk down at the office?
He's got 3 chairs beside his desk down at the office. They're all leather and must have cost over $100 apiece.
7239L, please. Correct.
Office furniture is an idea, though. I mean some knick-knack or other that would be useful and ornamental.
Footstool, maybe? Umbrella holder?
Something on that order.
Hello, I am speaking to Arnold Shipley, I believe. Yep, that's right. Rush Cook.
Didn't you tell him to get away from that half-wit phone?
Well, for golly's sakes. Hey, you...
Glad to hear you're enjoying robust health, Arnold. 1 second, please. This is Arnold Shipley.
What did I tell you a minute ago?
I expect you refer to what was said...
I said get away from there.
All right. Pardon the delay, Arnold. I feel first-rate, thanks. No, nothing important. It just occurred to me perhaps you'd like to be reminded you owe me 4 cents. Yes, that's what I thought. Sure thing, Arnold. You bet. Goodbye, Arnold.
Well, what kind of obedience is that? I distinctly give you orders to go away from...
The telephone is ringing by George.
Uh-huh. One of these times it'll be disconnected to where it can't ring.
Hello? Hello, Willis. Good old Willis Rohrbeck.
Mm.
How are you, fella?
A picture of somebody?
You mean as a Christmas present for the boss?
Yes.
Think of that.
A picture of who?
Oh, anybody. In a fine, big, expensive frame, don't you know?
I'm astonished at that news, Willis.
Or scenery. A picture showing the Mississippi River in the moonlight, or the Rocky Mountains with snow on top, or like that.
Well...
You sure hit the nail on the head that trip, Willis. Uh-huh. Well, wonderful of you to inconvenience yourself by phoning me up, old fella. Yes, sir. How true. Yeah. Okay, Willis. Goodbye. Good old dependable Willis Rohrbeck.
Hamilton sets wonderful pictures for sale nowadays, you know.
Yeah?
Furniture department. I was noticing them the other day.
Mm-hmm.
One real cute one showed a baby in a basket with Pop and Mama leaning over it, kissing it goodnight.
I doubt if that'd be appropriate to hang up in a businessman's office.
Oh, no, of course not. Just an example to show you the elegant merchandise they got. And then there was another showing the sun coming up.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
Now, this is getting outrageous, Rush.
Can I help it if my dear old friends take it in their noodle to get in touch with
us? Answer that.
Okay.
Drive us to where we'll have to sit in the basement evenings.
Hello? Why, yes, Cracky. Cracky, I don't buy Jordan. Delighted to hear the tones of your voice, Cracky.
Do you like the picture idea?
Yeah.
Fine as hell, Cracky. Never felt better.
Of course, it'd have to be something appropriate.
Oh, sure.
Just thought you'd refresh my mind of the fact I owe you 7 cents, eh, Cracky? Uh-huh. True.
Who's this he's talking to?
I don't know.
Cracky's somebody.
Oh, my.
Cracky Otto.
He's the lad with skull cap and tennis shoes?
Yeah, he's the one that comes...
True, Cracky. I agree. Sure, I'll pay sometime or other. Not at all. Not at all. Mighty generous of you to go to the bother of reminding me. You bet. Okay, Cracky. Goodbye, Cracky. Good old trustworthy Cracky Otto.
Why do you let yourself get saddled with the job of picking out Mr. Rubish's Christmas presents year after year after year?
Somebody's got to do
it. But why always you?
The guys down at the office gang up on me. They elect me chairman of the committee and then leave everything in my lap.
I wouldn't stand for it.
Mom, may I call a piney
club? Now, I'd tell them where to get off at.
Mm-hmm.
The minute I'd tell them where to get off at.
Mm-hmm. Mom.
Huh?
May I telephone Heine call?
Telephone Heine call?
Yeah.
Makes no difference to me.
No?
I don't care who you telephone.
Fine.
Why can't Acne suffer some of them be the goat once in a while?
Mm.
55412, please. Correct.
Let Steve Chestbutter pick out a Christmas present for Mr. Rubush.
Mm.
He's a great big, able-bodied man.
Mm.
Sure.
Hello? Am I listening to the tones in the voice of good old Heine call? How are you, Heine? How are you?
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Vic and Sade until the next time. Say, if you like good, tasty food, I'll bet you'll go for a certain southern dish that's winning friends all over the country. Crispy golden brown slices of hominy grits fried to a turn, then smothered in plenty of rich maple syrup.
Mm.
Are they a treat to the men folks? Just you watch them dig in. And if you'll just fry those hominy slices the Crisco way, they won't have any heavy, greasy taste. Because pure, all-vegetable Crisco gives you light, crispy fried foods. And they're digestible, too. Why, in answer to a question sent doctors by a leading medical publication, 2 out of every 3 doctors who replied specifically called attention to Crisco's digestibility. But then you just naturally expect a snowy white shortening like Sure Mix Crisco to give you digestible fried foods. So get Crisco. Remember, it costs only a few pennies a week for frying. But wait till you see what a wonderful difference a pure, all-vegetable shortening can make in your fried foods. Don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Ed Hurley, he's speaking.